Welcome back to the Integrateness Podcast with Jason and Jolene. We have given up trying to switch around how we do these openings completely. I'm Jason.
I'm Jolene.
Projecting nicely.
Right?
And we're really excited for this episode. It's the first of a two-parter because we're bringing in our second guest ever on the show. And this is Val, who I know because she teaches me yoga. And we've talked about my yoga experiences quite often. And we figured it'd be good to bring Val in because she does, like, not just yoga, but a whole bunch of different things. So, Val, come on in.
Well, hello.
We're glad.
My podcast voice, Valerie Pullen.
Very nice. That was really
very nice.
You've been practicing?
I've been practicing.
Yeah. There's a whole thing, because I did broadcasting. And the funny thing is like, you listen to people on the radio, and then you meet them in real life, and very few actually sound the same. Like, there is a radio voice, which I don't do. Apparently. But everyone else does.
I feel like you have a radio voice, though, Jay.
Do I?
Yeah.
I don't feel it.
I always find that when I listen to my voice, I'm like, is that what I sound like? Is this what other people hear? Remember I told you about the guy I worked with who met somebody who sounded like his inside voice on the outside?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to Valerie, you guys. She's going to tell us a little bit about what she does. I'm actually really excited because when you were introducing Jay, I was like, Jay brought a friend to the studio today.
I have friends. Really,
feel like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, right? Okay.
Oh, totally.
Hello, friend.
Hello. So I've been in the wellness community of Kamloops for about 8 years. So I've been teaching yoga since I was 20 years old. So for 8 years, I've been teaching yoga. And then in that journey, I've also become a reflexologist, a Reiki practitioner, and I've also worked at Bliss Float Center for about 3 years.
I have two gift certificates for there that I lost from 2 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe. And I have yet to try it because I don't know where these gift certificates are.
Let me help you.
Yay! You guys, this is great. And actually, when Jay and I were first talking about like ways we can incorporate like local services and other things into this podcast, we were like, we should just go try different places, give reviews on them. And Bliss was one of them. Remember?
Bryce,
I was like,
yeah,
we should go for a float. Okay, guys, stay tuned because this just like foreshadowed into some fun here. Anyways, come again, Valerie. Tell us what you're going to be talking about, primarily yoga in this episode. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. So yoga, I mean, in our Western culture, we focus more on the asana of practice, which is the movement of the body. But yoga in itself is so much more beyond that. And I think a lot of people start their yoga journey, their practice, because, oh, my back hurts, my hamstrings are tight. You know, we go in for a physical reason, and a lot of us come out of yoga with a more spiritual perspective.
Yay. And because we look great in Lululemons.
And that was something about yoga, because I come from a martial arts background, which was the same thing. People go into martial arts because they want to learn how to kick someone's ass. That's literally what it is, and to get in shape. But there's a very spiritual component to that. And so that was one of the coolest things I thought about yoga when I started, was that it is very spiritual. Can you sort of talk a bit about, let's start with that, like the spiritual aspect of it and how that is really so good for you. And people seem to confuse spirituality with religion and all that kind of stuff, but it's very different than that.
Well, I find like martial arts, yoga, meditation, it is coming in to the present moment. And I think that's what really hones in on our spirituality, is that connection to what is. You know, we let go of what has happened, what is going to happen, and we really just tap into what's happening right now.
And I suppose from like that like practical perspective in a class, that's when you're asking people to hold a pose for a certain period of time, notice your body, clear your mind, and just focus on that. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Would you say?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because some of those poses you can't do if you suddenly start thinking about, and it's happened to me, like I'm trying to do like a tree pose and it's like, oh crap, did I take out the garbage? And it was,
boom.
Oh crap.
Yeah. that's exactly it, right? I mean, I even noticed that I go to Pilates and I notice the same kind of thing. There's a lot of overlap in some of those body practices, right? So Val, if you were to kind of introduce yoga to somebody and they were looking at a schedule somewhere and was like, well, what is this and what is flow and what is yin and what is
Hatha.
Hey ho. I don't know, right? Booty is one I've heard of too, right? Which is wild. Do you want to give us like a little example of like which ones, yeah, just a definition sort of each one and why they might appeal to you or which one might be a better fit, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of my favorite classes to teach is Hatha. So Hatha is a more slower paced class in the sense of once we arrive in a pose, we hold and we breathe, right? So the difference between Hatha and flow is that we're in flow, we're really connecting breath with movement. As we inhale, we go somewhere. As we exhale, we go somewhere else. In, out, we flow and move with the breath. But with Hatha, we arrive and we can really kind of hone in, close the eyes, feel the body, and kind of just let go of the tension that we feel and feel that more energetic presence.
Oh, I like that. Mm. I've never known this.
No? Yeah,
no.
There's a difference.
So Hatha is really good for beginners because it gives you some time to get into a position. And I always like to teach a beginner styled class. Because the people who've been practicing yoga for 10 years, they know how to modify their practice. They know how to get into the arm balance. They know how to do, you know, the crazy stuff. But for someone who's just stepping in for the first time, like, I really want to make sure that person feels seen and feels comfortable in the class.
I love that. So that's something, you know, even when I look at my practice as a therapist and when I started integrating intuitive work into my practice and noticing the type of people that were coming to me, it was people at the beginning of this healing journey and kind of like that is really what my workshop starts to capture with people. And there is something like magical about that time when you really see the most transformation in somebody in those early stages. Like as a weight loss coach or, you know, fitness instructors, you'll notice that first 10 pounds comes off really quick, right? Once people, and then it's like that last 5 pounds becomes really tough. It's sort of like that. You would probably see people transform and change relatively quickly into their practice in the beginning stages. Would you say?
Oh, definitely.
I feel like that's very rewarding for us, right? Mm-hmm. Very cool. Because then you're honestly seeing this like inadvertent life change that they're not even aware of, but it is this connection with self. That's what like spirituality really means to me is like, what is your connection with yourself? How connected are you to yourself and to the world around you in a sense, right? Like in simple terms there. So you see people become much more connected to that and aware of that. Interesting. Okay. What are the other styles of yoga that we can be aware of?
Yeah. So I also teach yin classes.
Woo-hoo!
Woo! Jason's favorite.
I love yin class.
So yin is way slower than Hatha. It's at a room temperature class and you're focusing more on deep stretching. So instead of moving the body quicker, you're sitting or laying down the entire time and you're using blocks and bolsters or big pillows to support the bone structure. So once the bone structure is supported, that's where we really get into the connective tissue, the fascia. Once we can relax our muscles, that's when we start to stretch our joints and we get that lubrication coming and we, yeah, really get into those deep, deep tissues.
And when we look at where trauma is stored, there's so much information about the fascia work, right? I used to work with a Rolfer, like a structural integrationist, and they work with the fascia. And I didn't really understand some of that. But, you know, coming from now in the trauma work that I do, it's very somatic and, you know, body-based neurological trauma work. That is a key piece, right? Different places of the body, where we're storing it, where we release it. And yin yoga, that sort of practice, somatic workouts, people have probably heard of, so many overlaps with yoga, Pilates, different, you know, practices. But that is also what you're releasing during these times. So do you notice emotional releases from people in the class or after the class? Even Jay, like your experience.
Well, yeah, because remember we talked about this at the beginning of the season. I hurt myself landscaping.
Yeah.
So if it wasn't for yin, like the first yoga I did when I went back was yin. And I did like about 4 or 5, like, you know, Wednesday, Friday. And I didn't notice so much like an emotional release, but it was like integral to me feeling just better.
Mm.
Right? Because it took care of that pain on the, it was the sciatic nerve that went. So it was getting that back lined up. But there was just, it was funny. I went from like a real feeling of like tension, like just all around tension to like complete relaxation, which I wasn't able to do like all summer doing this heavy labor work, right? Which was interesting.
the total slowdown, because you total were like slowdown. Physically demanding at that point, yep. which was a big shift from the regular work that you do in the studio here. And, you know, that's interesting. And when you say that you're using like big pillows and blocks and things like that, I wonder if there is this underlying knowing that you are supported during yin yoga. I am supported.
It makes such a difference. You know that you're being held up. Even doing these poses, like Val will remember the names of all of them, but it's one where we kind of lay on our backs.
That's what I'm picturing right now.
Or your hands, like, you know what I mean? I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah.
Reverse butterfly?
Or recline butterfly.
Recline butterfly, yeah.
You have a bolster up the length of the spine to get into the chest, but you do feel just so supported. And a lot of the time in life, we aren't as supported as we could be, right? Mm-hmm. So to get into a space where we're just spending that time for ourselves, it is magic.
It really is. And when we think about when we are truly supported, we are safe enough to surrender. That is a very connective feminine energy piece, right? So if we're doing any kind of healing work on trust, surrendering, being able to let go, that's it, right? You can't do that without support. And physically, your body's going to do that, right? And know that. Val's getting really excited, guys.
She's got something to say.
I do. And it takes time. It takes time to be able to surrender. So a lot of people are living in this very fast-paced, demanding world. And if you step into your yoga class for the first time and it's yin and you're so tight and your mind has never slowed down before, it takes time to learn how to relax and to learn how to surrender and to learn how to trust. So for all of you out there that are new, just remember that relaxing is a practice and it gets easier over time.
And it's really, really hard. Coming from someone that lived most of his life at 110 kilometers an hour.
Oh, honestly.
It's really hard.
Not my struggle too, Jay. We get it. Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't know if Val was aware of this. A few weeks ago in class, someone actually fell asleep beside me. I could hear them snoring.
Amazing.
And I'm like, wow, that person's really relaxed. And since then, I think I've seen her come in pajamas.
Yes. Amanda, hello. If you hear this, she comes in with her pajamas every time. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Get it, girl.
It's awesome. I think that's fun. And even just to be that comfortable going into a group setting at like a gym where you feel like you can wear your pajamas. Like that says something.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And that is also a good bedtime practice. It's later at night. I saw it in Jason's schedule as 7 o'clock tonight as we're recording here. And that's a thing, right? You're also getting into that relaxed state. Maybe it's part of a nighttime ritual, or now you condition. When we look at classical conditioning in the brain, you know, Pavlov's dogs where he rang the bell and they salivated and then they, you know, he didn't eventually need the food anymore. They would just still salivate. That's kind of what you're doing. So if she's conditioning herself to think that she's going to be in that state of relaxation every time she puts these pajamas on, eventually she might be able to train her brain to just get there by putting the pajamas on.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
So
sure,
we will always associate smells, sensations, touches, things, places, people with different things. And that she could be conditioning a process right there. And you'll notice that, right? Like anytime people would start to walk into my office and smell the sage and spearmint diffuser I use, they instantly go to a different place. They've tried to take it home and like duplicate it there, but they're like, it's not the same, you know? So we do. We condition ourselves with these little things. So way to go, Amanda. What are some other types of yoga? Tell me about booty yoga, because I've talked to a few people about this.
Lane's obsessed with
booty
yoga.
I know one guy, and he is like, it's my favorite, right? He likes house music, and he's a rancher, actually, which is funny, because I'm like, that's amazing.
Who is it?
Oh, I might not want to say right? But yeah you know exactly.
I know.
Yeah,
it
he
is.
Goes to the studio. Totally.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, hello. Yeah, so booty, I'm not trained in booty, but it is a fusion of flow yoga, HIIT, dance, and
primal wildness is what I've heard.
It is loud music. It is, woo, you know, like letting those explosions of energy out. It is shaking your booty. That's why it's called booty.
What about that?
Yeah. And very like more aggressive movements, which people wouldn't think yoga would encapsulate, right? But when you really think about body connection and releasing, we don't always need to release gently. Like I tell people when they're processing anger in my in therapy with me, I'm like, you're going to need aggressive workout after this, because some emotions as we release in the body and neurologically, some of them are okay with passive energy, right? But if we're processing a lot of anger and they're sitting still in a seat in my office, I'm like, you're going to need fast cardio-related exertion to let your body release this, whether it be shaking, running, hitting, whatever that looks like after. But there is, you know, different ways our body's going to release different things. So that's going to tend to maybe some of those emotional releases, even excitement. Excitement doesn't sit still, right? So sometimes some of those extremes, and again, when you're looking at that mind-body connection in yoga, that's what that would foster, just at a more, you know, physical level for sure that way.
You said something that got me thinking. So how does one train for this, like to teach? Do you know what I mean, Val? Like,
oh, yeah.
It's one thing to kind of just go in and do it, but how did you, first, what inspired you to want to teach yoga? And then what was the process like to learn how to teach all this wonderful stuff?
Well, the process of me getting here, I would say, is I just started practicing yoga here and there through high school. I knew that I had that connection to it. I didn't know what it was. I just knew that I really liked it. And then as the time went on, I started volunteering at a yoga studio in town. I'd trade my time, kind of clean up. And then I saw that they were hiring for a receptionist, and I was like working at Taco Del Mar at the time. I was like, I would way rather work at a yoga studio than make burritos.
Right? Nothing wrong with burritos.
But yeah, I started receptioning at the yoga studio. So I was just completely involved in the community. And I started to look around myself and I said, you know what? I could do this. So I just took that leap. At the time, I was deathly afraid of using my voice, and I figured, you know what, this is going to make me step out of my comfort zone and to be able to use my voice and to step up into that leadership role. So yeah, a training came here in town in Kamloops, and I was able to, it's 200 hours, which is not that much time.
No, it's not when you think about it. Yeah. It sounds like a lot, but no.
Yeah, and it was over like quite like 6 months. It was like, you know, a weekend every week and or a weekend every month.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was able to just, take my time and learn the teachings of yoga.
That's awesome.
And that's cool. And when we look at any kind of journey, like when you can take your time like that and integrate it into your life instead of remove yourself, do an intensive 2 week and try and come back and like, you know, fit it in everywhere, you're integrating the practices, you're integrating the growth of your body during that time. Like, I feel like sometimes when we can do slower, sustainable additions to our life like that, it just is it sticks a little bit differently, right? Mm-hmm. So Val, tell us, like, what do you see changing in people's lives when they start to go to yoga? Whether this was your own experience or what people report, but in general, if somebody starts a yoga practice, whatever that look like, what would be some of the things you would notice change in their life?
I would say first is that connection to self. I think that is the biggest thing that happens, is building that relationship to self. And then in that, you know, so much happens. We build our consciousness in that. We are more mindful of our reactions and what triggers us. And like, even in a yoga class, when we're in a twisted chair and we're swearing under our breath, you know, like, why is that happening? You start to notice what's happening within, as well as just feeling great, you know, like, I practice hot yoga. You're detoxing, you're sweating, you're letting go of so many toxins, you're helping your organs, you're twisting, and it helps with digestion and flexibility and strength and so much.
And often I find when we start, it's like habit stacking, right? So you go to yoga, you're naturally probably going to start drinking more water. Mm-hmm. You're probably going to make different choices about other things, either before the class or after the class. So maybe you're not going to emotionally eat after the class. Maybe you're not going to eat something before the class that you might have, you know. And
I mean, I've eaten an entire medium pizza before yoga, and it was not a good idea, and I have never done it since.
Oh, that's wild.
I don't know what's worse, but the pizza or all the burritos we might have been eating before, right?
Wow. The fact that you can even eat an entire medium pizza.
Right? Yeah. That's impressive.
That is very impressive.
It's been a minute, but yeah.
Jason, what changed in your life when you started practicing yoga?
Well, it was funny. I started yoga to get a break from the boxing and the kickboxing because my body was just sore, even though the training was very good. Like you stretched and you did all the stuff you're supposed to do. So I needed to do something different. And it was like everything Val said, it's very true. Like even though with martial arts, there's a real mind-body connection, like you're very much in the moment. It just, yeah, I think it got me a little bit more in tune with me, like who I am. And it did teach me, because fighting is fast. Mm-hmm. And it taught me how to slow down. And that's the one thing in my life that, I mean, since my grade 12 year where I did an extended studies class where my whole, I even knew then I need to learn how to relax because I cannot relax unless I was like in the middle of the woods somewhere by myself. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
But it did teach me how to do that. Like, because I go to say like tomorrow morning, I will go to like the 9 o'clock, you know, hot yoga. I think it's half that tomorrow morning, I think. And even though it's like a good workout, I will be relaxed through that entire hour and I'll come home and on my day, I'll be set for very, very chill. So it taught me how to do that. And I think what it also did for me is it taught me, because I'm a guy and there was a stigma about yoga among men. There is, even though I'm seeing more men go all the time. Mm-hmm. They don't think it's a workout, but holy crap, is it ever a workout? Like mm-hmm. It really, really is. And I think it taught me that there's different kinds of exercise and they all benefit you in different ways. Like I think the first class I ever had with Val, and this is going back quite a few years, she got us to do a 3-minute downward dog.
Oh.
Right?
Did I do that?
You did do that. And I was just kind of like, what? And halfway through, I'm like, who is this woman? This is intolerable. But it worked, but I could do it.
Yeah.
I could do it. And I wasn't sore later. You know what I mean? Like, but it built up a different kind of strength. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate it. So thank you, Val, even though at the time I was very upset, but it was amazing.
That sounds horrendous.
It is really hard to do. The downward dog is enough for like, what do we usually do it for? 30 seconds a minute?
Yeah. It's like a plank, right? Like yeah, the idea of plank. Like when you're in plank, that time takes forever.
Yeah. 3 minutes felt like an hour.
Whew. Yeah.
But it's good. It was amazing. And it just, yeah. So it taught me so much that way. But I think just that ability to relax and just connect more with myself mm-hmm. and my body and pay attention.
Jay, I'm going to ask, because I think I met you post yoga.
Yeah, because we met in 2021, late 2021.
I think so. Was that post-yoga?
Yeah, because I started yoga in 2019.
Can I, because I don't know you before, are you more grounded?
Oh, for sure.
There you go. Yeah I actually see, you know, that's a big benefit to like not only being in your body more, but being more grounded, being more centered. I perceive yoga practice to cultivate control. I actually think people whose lives feel out of control, and I know like we all go through this busyness. I was just telling Val in the driveway, like, oh, I've just got things booked one after another, and I hate it when there's no space between some things. But you can take somebody who's living that busy life and essentially finally for one part of their day, give them a sense of control. They have control over their body. They have to have control over it, therefore cultivate control over maybe their mind, counting or just paying attention to that. But you can literally simulate control in those moments. And I think that that is such a powerful grounding, centering effect. Right. And I think that's a word we misuse a lot of the time because we think it's a negative thing or whatever. But, you know, when you can really look and be like, oh, why do I feel so good after that or this or that? I think you could probably look at the word control and be like, I actually felt in control for that whole hour. And when in my day did I actually feel in control?
Yeah.
That is, I have never thought of it like that before. And that's so true because, you know, at the beginning of class, I always say, like, this is your time. I am simply offering some guidance, but if you need something else, please take it. So when I see people do that, when I see people modify or just do something completely different than what I'm saying, I'm like, you go, like, take this time for you. And that is, you're taking control of yourself and what it is you need.
I like that.
And that's a wonderful thing about it too, is that it is offered. Like, it's like, this is your practice. Mm-hmm. Right. And like you say that every class, it's like if this doesn't work for you, if you're uncomfortable, if you're sore, stop and do something else. Mm-hmm. And where else in life do you get to do that?
Yeah.
like really your job or whatever, right? In every other sport, it's like if you're not playing hockey right, everyone yells at you and gets mad. You know what I mean? So it's nice to have a space to do that.
Yeah, which kind of takes me to the whole team aspect, right? Like that's a team sport. That's why. So this is interesting because, you know, I know some studios in town that have live classes that also stream so people can attend the class from home on the video version. You can do your own yoga practice that just looks like whatever you want it to if you already have a foundational like skill set, and you can practice however you like, maybe in your living room or your office or whatever, just to take 5-10 minutes to yourself. You can watch, you know, videos online, like that FitOn app I think is really great for lots of different types of exercise. It's free. FitOn, please cut us
a check right now. $1,000.
Throwing that out, right? Sponsor. But you know, there's different ways. And I think, and probably you guys will say this, like there's something so beneficial about being in a class setting. That's what I really love about Pilates, because I'm required to go. I socialize while I'm there, even though I do my own thing. But there's an accountability piece. So I am gonna like give 100% through an exercise when I know there's other people in the room than when I'm by myself. Discipline is a huge piece.
It is. And yoga translates to union and connection.
Oh!
So it kind of ties it all together, right? Like, I have done yoga by myself in my room, and it lasts about 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. But
right?
When I go to a studio, I am so in tune, because you are practicing for yourself, but in community. It is so powerful when you're all breathing at the same time. You're all setting an intention, which is usually, you know, powerful to set an intention for your practice. You're doing it for the higher good.
I love that. Are you familiar with Michael Singer's work?
I recognize the name.
Yeah, Untethered Soul.
Yes.
Yes. So anyways, he was like this university professor. Jay, you would love this book.
Would, yes.
Yeah, Life. I think like Life Untethered, Untethered Soul. There's a few of them, I believe. Or Living Untethered. I can't remember quite. But anyways, he was a university professor. He started a yoga practice, and it just like evolved into this like, and he also like he created a software accounting system or something like that. So he was very left-brained in all of that area. But he started meditating and started a yoga practice, and it turned into this whole like, bought a piece of land and then started, people were living on it, and this very communal living kind of thing is fascinating. Anyways, check out his book. I don't know if any of y'all have heard it, but it really makes me think about that and how it ended up cultivating like this community that he let ebb and flow the way it needed to. And he really started playing with that untethered, you know, lack of attachment to things, and let things come and go through his life that created so much abundance. And literally the, you know, not only just the law of attraction, but getting out of your own way to be open to like everything that presents. And again, through intentions, and you see the seeds planted along the way. It's very cool to follow his story, because he's real life and he really transformed through practice of meditation and yoga. I have a question about inversion work, hanging out upside down. I have one of those feet up things. So it's like a little stool type device that I can do headstands on without actually needing the arm strength, right? So anyways, I bought one of those because I understood there was some benefit to inversion work and things like that. But my daughter, she's 7, and she is upside down all the time, Val. So talk to us about like inversion practice. You said like arm balancing and things like that. That's a more advanced yoga practice, would you say?
When we talk about inversions, there's so many different types of inversions, right? So head is below the heart. So most of the time when we're walking, our head is above the heart. So even downward facing dog is an inversion.
Right.
Child's pose.
Yeah.
Is an inversion.
We do one with the legs.
Oh, legs up the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Head below the heart.
Okay.
So yes, you can do handstands, headstands, all that crazy stuff, but you can still get the benefits of inversion work with more simple poses.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, no, it's just a fascinating thing I've noticed. And Jay and I were actually just talking about kids practice, kids yoga, you know, and, you know, is there classes in town? I know there's like mom and baby and toddler yogas, but is there actual yoga classes for kids around?
There is. So I used to teach at Yoga Now Kamloops.
Is that Lacey's studio?
It is.
Oh, cool.
I used to dance with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. She has kids classes. So, and it's just the kids.
That's
awesome.
I love
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I mean, got to start them young with mindfulness and being aware of the body. So it's so great that the community has that for kids.
I feel like schools start to do that too, especially cold time in the winter. They would have indoor activities, right? If the kids were staying in. And Cosmic Kids Yoga is on YouTube. And this lady like tells stories. So she'll have like Finding Nemo yoga and she goes through poses and it keeps their attention because it's story based, or Star Wars yoga, things like that. But I do feel like having an actual class of yoga, right? Like that's what my daughter would be interested in. She would want to do these poses and she'd want to show off her headstand and learn how to do that properly in like a flow practice or whatever that is, right? Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I think we do incorporate that storytelling in the kids' classes.
Kids love that kind of thing.
Yeah. Anyway. They play games, you know, like tag, but then you pause in a yoga pose type of thing to kind of get their energy out, but still practice mindfulness.
Do we have a men's only class?
I don't know if there is.
I think we need men so many things. I see these like healing groups, like men dance groups where they just free dance and they heal with each other, or like men's yin yoga where they can emotionally release. Like, how amazing would that be? Like, there are so many things that I think men need in healing communities. Women have a lot of women healing circles. We've been doing this work. We've been inviting it. We have, you know, female dominated, you know, I would say yoga's fairly female dominated in some aspects.
I would say so. I mean, back in the day, it was only for men.
What?
Isn't that crazy?
It was wild.
Isn't it? But then look at how
but then it's evolved,
changed, right?
So it's for men. It's for men too. But yeah, there is a lot more spaces for women to, you know, hold each other.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder for a man, I think, on a masculine energy, you know, it's more productive, it's more dominant, and it's harder to get into that vulnerable state.
But this is where men heal their feminine wounds, right? And that's where like men helping other men heal in some of these really therapeutic settings. And again, I see a lot of it online, not so much in person or locally, but I definitely think we have a need for that. Yeah. Yay.
This has been awesome.
It has been.
It has been. But we've got more with Val.
We do.
Next week.
We do. So between now and next week, we went a little longer today because Jay's giving me the eyebrow to shut up.
But I would never say
I know
that.
We're so excited. So Val, can you suggest one thing that somebody can do to make some kind of connection with yoga after listening to this podcast?
Yoga is always with you, whether you go to a studio or not. It is a practice of living intentionally, and you have the ability to ground yourself with connection to body and breath.
Awesome.
And I could drop the mic, I would.
Yay. I like that. And then my challenge on top of that is I want everybody to do a downward facing dog for 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
3 minutes, folks. And if you don't know what that is, Google that shit. Okay. Shaniko got your ass. Thank you. This is your next favorite episode of the Integrateness podcast.
We'll be back again next week.
Thank you, Val.
Thank you.